Proceed to case number 5, United States versus Vallejo. Mr. Salzman?
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Stephen Salzman. I represent defendant Jose Vallejo. I want to focus my argument on the sentencing issues under Apprendi, Jones, and Castillo. The 262-month sentence that Mr. Vallejo was given violates the principles enunciated in Apprendi, Jones, and Castillo. Mr. Vallejo was convicted of two counts of being a felon in possession of a firearm. The elements that had to be proven to the jury were that he possessed a firearm while being a felon and that the firearm previously had traveled in interstate commerce. The maximum penalty for violation of that statute was 10 years. Yet his sentence was 262 months based on an offense level under the sentencing guidelines of 34 and a criminal history category of 6. That determination was based on two things. Fact-finding under the Armed Career Criminal Act and the sentencing guidelines. First, that he was an armed career criminal because he had three or more violent felonies committed on different occasions. And
now,
second,
do you agree with that part, just to stop? You're not contesting that he fits the description of an armed career criminal, are you?
Judge, in the trial court, we did argue that the issue of separate occasions.
Okay, but apart from the separate occasions point, he certainly has the correct number of prior qualifying felonies.
Yes, Judge.
Okay.
And second, that the possession of the firearm was in connection with the crime of violence. In Apprendi, the court said that the first step of the analysis was, does the required finding expose the defendant to a greater punishment than authorized by the jury's guilty verdict alone? The answer here has to be yes. He got a 262-month sentence. The maximum penalty for the crime he was convicted of by the jury was 10 years.
But once he's an armed career criminal, the maximum penalty changes under the statute. You know, the guidelines calculations can change, but the only thing we look at for Apprendi purposes is the statute. He's all the way up to life.
That's right, Judge. But the issue is it's not one of form, but one of effect.
Well, but if the statute has a ceiling of life, rightly or wrongly, I mean, obviously there may be much more said on Apprendi over the years by the Supreme Court. But at the moment, the law in this circuit is that whatever happens under the statutory ceiling is not the kind of thing that implicates Apprendi's concerns, and the district judges are still to apply the sentencing guidelines under the preponderance standards and fact-finding standards they've used always.
I understand that, Judge, but at least this, and I think that's more of an issue as to the second inquiry. The first inquiry is he's charged with 922G, felon in possession. The max, that's what he's convicted of. Those are the elements that have to be proven to the jury. He's convicted of that. That has a 10-year maximum. So his sentence is 262 months. That's more than the 10-year maximum by virtue of the operation of the Armed Career Criminal Act and the issue of the alleged crime of violence. Now, that gets us to the second inquiry. Was the enhanced sentence based on the fact of the prior conviction? My response is to that, it wasn't only based on the fact of the prior conviction. It's based on two aspects of fact-finding. One, the application of the Armed Career Criminal Act. The other, that it's determined that he has committed crimes of violence, and there were two counts, Judge, just to be clear. He's committed crimes of violence
right,
in connection
right,
with
right.
those two counts.
It's
the combined effect of that fact-finding that leads to a sentence of 262.
No, I understand, but you know, of course, obviously, that this court has said that you can apply the Armed Career Criminal Act, which triggers the higher statutory maximum consistently with Apprendi. We've said it in lots of cases. And then the way you apply the rest of these factors, you know, we can talk about the way the actual guidelines were applied. I understand that's part of your argument as well, whether you have to charge, you know, the state, I don't know how you charge state offenses, frankly, but that's a different problem I have with your argument. But I guess I can't get over the essential request that you're making that we overrule quite a number of prior cases in which we've said that you can apply the Armed Career Criminal Act consistently with Apprendi.
Judge, I do ask that, but that's not the purpose of my argument here because I recognize the established law. What I'm saying is that in a situation where you have the combination of both, that is the application of the Armed Career Criminal Act and fact-finding of another crime, that in that situation it's inconsistent with Apprendi that combined fact-finding is inconsistent with Apprendi because Apprendi allows...
Why does it change the statutory maximum?
Well, it changes...
It only changes the guideline maximum.
It does only change the guideline maximum,
okay.
Judge, but it changes the sentence.
I know that. And
it is the combined fact-finding. It's not like we have the fact-finding over here that somehow makes the Armed Career Criminal Act applicable, and then later on we get to the crime of violence. It's all done together. And I think there's an anomaly here, too, Judge, and I don't think I've seen it addressed in your opinion. It's clear that Almendarez remains good law. The Supreme Court has not reversed. It's also clear from Apprendi that it's a very narrow exception. Here we have an anomaly. I mean, as you know, Almendarez says we don't. The fact of a prior conviction is not something that has to. It's not an element. It's a traditional sentencing factor. But here it is an element in the underlying crime. The underlying crime of felon in possession requires proof to the jury that the defendant had been convicted of a felony. And I think that really makes this case much more like the Castillo case, where you had the use of a weapon, and then what kind of weapon it is what the Supreme raises the maximum, and the Supreme Court says, well, that's not okay here because that's really not a traditional sentencing factor. I think this case is really in kind of an area that the Supreme Court has not addressed because it's undeniable that the fact of the prior conviction is an element in the underlying crime. And here what happens is you have that, and then to get to the maximum, it has to be certain types of felonies committed on separate occasions. And I think that, again, as I said, makes this case look like Castillo in this particular situation. And I think that should not be the exception. I think that should not be the exception that's allowed to apply.
Let me just briefly. How do you get notice with regard to the Armed Career Criminal? At what point does the government indicate to you that they're going to...
It was on the indictment, Judge. It wasn't pled as an allegation, and I haven't made a notice argument.
May it please the Court, Carrie Hamilton on behalf of the United States. Defendant Jose Baleo's sentence did not violate Apprendi because Apprendi does not require that the qualifying convictions under the Armed Career Criminal Act be charged, submitted to the jury, or proven beyond a reasonable doubt. It's clear under precedent that this does not have to be done, and because of that, there is no way for defendant to claim that his sentence violated Apprendi. The second point of the argument, the consideration of the aggravated batteries or assaults that were committed in connection with defendant's position, those also do not violate Apprendi because, as the court is aware, the statutory maximum goes to life. The defendant's sentence in this case was nowhere near life, and because of that, he can't claim that the consideration...
How long was his sentence?
His ultimate sentence, I'm sorry, I'm not remembering off the top of my
260
head.
260 months.
260 or 262 months.
Well, it might be close to life depending on your age.
That's
don't,
true.
Don't get too close to me.
I'm sorry, my point is only that it is below the statutory maximum of life. And because of that, the consideration of aggravated assault to enhance the defendant's sentence under the guidelines by one offense level does not violate Apprendi. Unless the court would like me to address any other issues that Mr. Saltzman raised in his brief or has any other questions on those issues that he raised in oral argument, the government would ask that the court affirm defendant's conviction and sentence in this case.
Thank you. Saltzman? 1 minute, Mr. Saltzman.
I just want to conclude by saying that what we have here, what gets us then from the 235, and it is the 262, is this evidence of a completely separate crime. A crime, it's not a traditional sentencing element. This isn't the manner, this isn't the something about the characteristics of the defendant or the manner in which the crime is committed. It's a wholly separate crime. And I think that fact here, coupled with the application of the Armed Career Criminal Act, makes this a different case than Apprendi, or makes this a different case than the cases that the court have found don't apply to Apprendi. And I would ask that the court does extend this Apprendi to this case and reverse the decision of the trial court as to the sentence.
Mr. Saltzman, you have the thanks of the court for ably representing your client.
Thanks, appreciate it.